Welcome to the radio ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship. The Seed is a Christ-centered, God-glorifying, Spirit-filled fellowship of believers eager to share God's love with you. No matter where you've been or where you're at, you are welcome. The Seed is a place to belong and grow in God's grace and love. Our prayer is that you will experience God's grace at the Seed and that you will come to know God's love. Grow in Christ's grace. Go in the Holy Spirit's power. Sow seeds of faith in our world. Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith.
Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave. We are blessed that you listen each week to these programs. We would love to have you join us in person on Sunday mornings. We worship at 9284 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga at 9 a.m. If you can't make it on Sunday mornings in person, you can always join our live stream at www.theseedchristianfellowship.com. Click on the live stream. You can worship, you can chat, you can fellowship, you can pray, and our prayer is that you'll grow in grace. We do welcome you this week, and I hope and pray that you are blessed, safe, and healthy. The mission of the Seed is that you come to know the love of God in a very real and personal way, and that you grow day after day in the grace of God, and that you go in the power of the Holy Spirit into your world of family and friends, work, church, and community to sow seeds of faith. Know God's love, grow in the grace of Jesus Christ, go in the power of the Holy Spirit, sowing seeds of faith. Friends, it is our faith that will get us through all of the times that we are living through. Here at The Seed, we've been doing a series called God With Us. Do you believe that God is with you? What a great so what question. It is my prayer that as we work our way through this series that we will come to know without a shadow of doubt that God is with you. If you've been with us for the past several weeks, you've heard the great Old Testament stories of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in a fiery furnace, of Daniel in the lion's den, and of David the shepherd boy as he faced a giant called Goliath. We have learned that there was a fourth man in the fire. God is with us. We have learned that there was an angel who shut the mouth of the lions. God with us. We have learned how a little shepherd boy faced his giants and won the victory because the battle belongs to the Lord. God is with us. We can have faith in the fires of our life. We can have faith when we're in the lion's den. We can have faith when we face our giants in the valleys of life. Today, we will learn how to have faith while we stand and face the mountains of life. Grab your Bible and turn to the Old Testament book of 1 Kings, chapter 18. We'll be in chapter 18 and 19. We're going to go up to Mount Carmel with the prophet Elijah. Before we turn to God's living word, let us come to the throne of grace and seek his face and grace. Lord God of all grace, mercy, and love, on this day, we open your letter of love and read your call to us to love you with all of our heart, souls, mind, and strength. You also call us to love one another. We read that you, O God, are our love. Forgive us when we fail to love. May your words of love and life fill our hearts and minds today. We want to love you and others more. Amen. 1 Kings 17, 1 through 5, and we're going to bounce around in here, okay? Now Elijah the Tishbite from Tishbe in Gilead said to Ahab, "As the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, whom I serve, there will be neither dew nor rain in the next few years except at my word." Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah, "Leave here, turn eastward, and hide in a Kereth ravine east of the Jordan. You will drink from the brook, and I have ordered the ravens to feed you there." So he did what the Lord had told him to do. He went to Kereth ravine east of the Jordan and stayed there. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. Then we'll go to 1 Kings 18, 1-3. After a long time, in the third year, the word of the Lord came to Elijah, "Go and present yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain on the land." So Elijah went to present himself to Ahab. And we'll pick up on 16 through 39. We'll read the story. I think it's important to hear God's word. So Obadiah went to meet Ahab and told him that Ahab went to meet Elijah. When he saw Elijah, he said to him, "Is that you, you troubler of Israel?" "I have not made trouble for Israel," Elijah replied, "but you and your father's family have, You have abandoned the Lord's command and have followed the Baals. Now summon the people from all over Israel to meet me on Mount Carmel, and bring the 450 prophets of Baal and the 400 prophets of Asherah who eat at Jezebel's table. So Ahab sent word throughout all Israel and assembled the prophets on Mount Carmel. Elijah went before the people and said, "How long will you waver between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal is God, follow him." But the people said nothing. Then Elijah said to them, "I am the only one of the Lord's prophets left, for Baal has 450 prophets. So get two bulls for us. Let them choose one for themselves and let them cut it into pieces and put it on the wood, but not set fire." Excuse me. And I will call on the name of the Lord. The God who answers by fire, he is God. The people said, "What you say is good." Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, "Choose one of the bulls and prepare it first, since there are so many of you. Call on the name of your God, but do not light the fire." So they took the bull given them and prepared it, and then they called on the name of Baal from morning till noon. "O Baal, answer us," they shouted, but there was no response. No one answered, and they danced around the altar they had made. At noon, Elijah began to taunt them. "Shout louder," he said. "Surely he is a god. Perhaps he's deep in thought or busy or traveling. Maybe he's sleeping and must be awakened." So they shouted louder, and they slashed themselves with swords and spears, as was their custom, until the blood flowed. Midday paused, and they continued their frantic prophesy until the time of the evening sacrifice. But when there was no response, no one answered, no one paid attention, then Elijah said to the people, "Come here to me." They came to him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord, which was in ruins. Elijah took 12 stones, one for each of the tribes, descended from Jacob, to whom the word of the Lord had come, saying, "Your name shall be in Israel." With the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he dug a trench around it, large enough to hold two seas of seed. He arranged the wood, cut the bull into pieces and laid it on the wood. Then he said to them, "Fill four large jars with water and pour it on the offering and on the wood." "Do it again," he said, and they did. "Do it a third time," he ordered, and they did it a third time. The water ran down around the altar and even filled the trench. At the time of the sacrifice, the prophet Elijah stepped forward and prayed, "O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known today that you are the God in Israel, and that I am your servant, and have done all these things at your command. Answer me, O Lord, answer me, so that these people will know that you, O Lord, are God, and that you are turning their hearts back again." Then the fire of the Lord fell and burned up the sacrifice, the wood, the stones, and the soil, and also licked up the water in the trench. When all the people saw this, they fell prostrate and cried out, "The Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God." Well, to be honest with you, I love history. In fact, I went to college and began my college career believing that I would be a history teacher and coach. A month later, I met my bride and fell head over heels in love. We were married. I always say we were very mature 19-year-olds when we were married. Well, this past January, we celebrated 50 years of marriage. All this to say that when I was a sophomore in college, I changed my major as I feared I could not earn a living as a teacher and raise my family. I changed my major to business administration with a minor in accounting, and for the next 20 years, I wrestled with God in the business world. I understood the story of Elijah all too well. It was as if I was wavering between two opinions, what I wanted to do with my life and what God wanted me to do with my life. Let us go back to history and our story of Elijah. Elijah lived in the 9th century BC during the reign of King Ahab and Queen Jezebel and King Ahaziah, who were kings of the northern kingdom in Israel. Elijah is considered one of the greatest prophets in the Old Testament, along with Elisha. The Bible records 6 miracles from Elijah and Elisha, doubling that. These two prophets both prophesied to the northern kingdom of Israel, the 10 tribes. Elijah is best remembered for his call to reform on Mount Carmel. He is also known for being taken into heaven in a whirlwind, in a fiery chariot, while dropping his cloak on Elisha. as a sign he would succeed him. Elijah is fourth most mentioned Old Testament figure in the New Testament. Let me say that again. Elijah is the fourth most mentioned Old Testament figure in the New Testament. Moses is mentioned 80 times. Abraham, 73 times, David, 59 times, and Elijah, 29 times. All but two of these references are in the Gospels, where you find them only in Romans and James. The name Elijah means Yahweh is God, or my God is the Lord. What a powerful name to live up to, and Elijah just does that. His story is told in 1 Kings chapter 17 through 19 and 21. Or in 2 Kings chapter 1, verses 2 through 16, or chapter 2, 1 through 12, and 29 times in the New Testament. There's an old story told about a man by the name of Jim. Jim happened to meet the minister on the street one day, and during their conversation, he told him all the troubles he had during the past year. He wound up by saying, "I tell you right now, preacher, it's enough to make a man lose his religion." "Seems to me, Jim," the pastor said quietly, "it's enough to make a man use his religion." If you find yourself here today like Jim, the story of facing mountains is for you. The problem of the northern kingdom was that the people turned away from their one true God, and they started to look for other gods, small g's. They began to entangle and intermingle with gods of other nations, Asherah and Baal. Baal was the storm god who brought rain and fertility to the land and the animals, and the fertility goddess. Listen again to verse 30. "Then Elijah said to the people, 'Come here to me.' They came to him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord, which was in ruins." Elijah had called the people to repentance and reform. The problem was that the altar of God was broken and in ruins. The people had turned from God and had begun to worship other small gods, small g's. The religious landscape of the United States continues to change at a rapid pace. Pew Research Center did a telephone survey conducted many years ago in 2018. I'll give you the figures, but let's take a break. You've been listening to The Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave, and our prayer team would love to pray for you. You can go to our website at www.theseedchristianfellowship, click on the prayer icon, and we'll pray for you. The Pew Research Center did a telephone survey in 2018 and 2019, and they reported that 65% of American adults described themselves as Christians when asked about their religion. While that is down 12 percentage points over the past decade, meaning 2008 and 2009, where 77% of the people reported themselves as Christian. Also interesting to note is that the religiously unaffiliated share of the population, consisting of people who describe their religious identity as atheist, agnostic, or nothing in particular, stood at 26%. That's up 9%. Barna Research did research to find the most post-Christian cities in America. Hang on to your hats. According to Barna, in his most recent data, this was only from 2017, so it's way off now because it's 2024. The most un-Christian city is Springfield, Holyoke, Massachusetts, 66%. This Northeast city is the first of eight in a row from that region that makes up the top 10. Portland, Maine, Providence, Rhode Island, Burlington, Vermont, Boston, Massachusetts, Albany, Schenectady, Troy, New York, Hartford, New Haven, Connecticut, and Rochester. The two non-northeastern cities to make up the top 10, well, Santa Barbara and Santa Maria or San Luis Obispo were 54%, and Seattle, Tacoma. To qualify as post-Christian, individuals had to meet 9 or more of the following criteria. Highly post-Christian individuals had to meet 13 or more of the factors. Do not believe in God is one. Identify as atheist or agnostic. Disagree with faith is important in their lives. Have not prayed to God in the last week. Have not made a commitment to Jesus. Disagree the Bible is accurate. I've not donated money to a church in the last year, have not attended a Christian church in the last 6 months, agree that Jesus committed sins, do not feel a responsibility to share their faith, have not read the Bible in the last week, have not volunteered at church in the last week, have not attended Sunday school in the last week, have not attended religious small groups in the last week, Bible engagement scale was low, and being not born again. The problem in our story was that the northern kingdom had turned away from the one true God and looked to the pagan gods of modern culture to satisfy them. Their altars of worship were in disarray. Wow, does that sound familiar? In our culture today, we have a high calling to go out into in the power of the Holy Spirit and plant seeds of faith. The church must continue to repair the worship of God. As we have withstood the COVID pandemic, we look at the economic culture and what's going on. Churches have realized that the church is not a building. The church is a people. We are the church, and today's message is for us. Is our altar of worship in ruins? Is our altar in disarray? Are we torn between the one true God and the many other gods of our time? Elijah is a prophet. He is called by God to hear God's message and then deliver God's message to the people. Elijah asked the people, "Whom are you trusting?" Wow. Whose opinion are you believing in? Listen again to Elijah's call to repentance. Elijah says, "Elijah went before the people and said, 'How long will you waver between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal is God, follow him.' But the people said nothing." What a profound question. How long will you waver between two opinions? I'm going to let that sit with you for a minute. How long will you waver between two opinions? The question is, how long? God comes to the people through the prophet to call them to repentance and reform. God could have brought down judgment, but instead God called his prophet to give the people a message, repent and reform. Waver, in the Hebrew, in this sentence, is an interesting word. How long will you waver? And it's a verb. It's pasach, P-A-W-S-A-K-H, pasach, which means how long will you limp? How long will you be lame? How long will you The waver between two choices is seen as limping in the Hebrew culture. Elijah is standing in front of the people, asking them how long are they going to be limping between two opinions. Stay with me. The Hebrew word for opinion, it means crutches. Let us loosely translate what Elijah is saying to the people. How long will you limp between two sets of crutches? Wow. In essence, Elijah was, whose name means Yahweh is God, is calling the people back to God by saying, stop using sticks and crutches to hold you up. Stop limping and stand on the truth. Stand in and on Yahweh. If the Lord is your God, follow him. But if Baal is your God, follow him. Well, it sounds familiar to Joshua's call to the people in Joshua 24:15. When he says, but if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourself this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your forefathers served beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Let us go to the New Testament real quick and hear some words that we can follow. In Matthew chapter 4, verses 19 and 20, Jesus said to James, John, Peter, and Andrew on the shore of the Sea of the Galilee, come follow me, Jesus said, I'll make you fishers of men. And at once they left their nets and followed him. John 1:43. The next day Jesus decided to leave Galilee. Finding Philip, he said, follow me. Luke 5:27 and 28, Jesus said to Matthew in the tax collector's booth, follow me, Jesus said. Levi got up and left everything and followed him. Luke 9:23-24, then he said to them, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will save it. Wow, do you see a theme here? Follow. Elijah prophesies, if the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal is God, follow him. While Jesus prophesies, follow me. Well, I cannot wait until we all gather again. I want to see you again. I want to worship at the altar of the Lord. with you. I would want to hear you sing together with the Lord. There's an old gospel song called Whose Side Are You Leaning On? It's arranged by Chris Bird. I would sing it to you, but you'd probably turn off the program. I have done my share of being a silly pastor at many church vacation Bible school programs, and I miss some of those. Anyway, we always sang the song, and we would divide the church up into two sides on each side of the pew. And I'd walk over to one side and say, "Whose side are you leaning on?" And they would shout, "We are leaning on the Lord's side." Then I'd walk over to the other side and say, "Whose side are you leaning on?" And they would say, "We're leaning on the Lord's side." The idea of being that each side was trying to sing the loudest. Then it goes, "We lean, we lean, we lean, we lean. We're leaning on the Lord's side." Wow. Repeat that with me. We lean, we lean, we lean. We're leaning on the Lord's side. So I ask you, whose side are you leaning on? That is exactly what Elijah was saying to the people. Whose side are you leaning on? So what? Let's wrap this up. Let's bring it home. Elijah faced two mountains, and so did the people. Their choice. You either are going to lean on the Lord's side, or you're going to lean on the side of Baal. Cannot limp between the two. Time to choose. In modern times, we face the same choice. We will lean on mountains of worship, or will we lean on the mountains of the world? Will we lean on the mountain of worship, or will we lean on the mountain of the world? Your homework for this week is to reaffirm your love for God and others. Remember the study I quoted earlier? Let us change it to how to qualify as a Christian. How many boxes can you check? I'm going to give you these. One, I believe in God. Two, I identify as a believer, as a Christian. Three, I agree that faith is important to my life. Four, I pray to God. Five, I have made a commitment to Jesus. Six, I agree the Bible is accurate. Seven, I donate money to a church in the last year. Eight, I attend a Christian church in the last 6 months. Nine, I agree that Jesus is God's only son. 10, I feel a responsibility to share my faith. 11, I read the Bible in the last week. 12, I volunteer at church. 13, I attend small group in the last week. And 14, I've accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. If you haven't done that, there's no better time than today. Ask Jesus into your heart. Ask him to forgive you of your sins. In 1 John chapter 4, the Bible says that God is love. Well, God is love. God is the love that that overwhelms us and shows us how to live. Let us pray. God, we do love you, and we want you to help us to repair our hearts, repair our altars of worship within our hearts. On this day, give us the name of someone who needs to hear from us, who needs to know that they matter and that they are loved. As we contact these people, rebuild the altars of our worship. Thank you, God, for Elijah and his story. I'm done limping between two altars. I'm going to follow you. And all of God's people said, amen. Well, my prayer each week as I close and pray for you and I get off the radio program is that you'll really come to know God's love, that you'll grow in the grace of Jesus Christ, and that you'll go in the power of the Holy Spirit sowing seeds of faith. If you need prayer or just need to talk, you can always email me at Pastor Dave at the Seed Christian Fellowship. I know that God loves you, and so do I. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you this day and always. Go in peace this week and serve the Lord. Amen. God bless. Have a great week.
You've been listening to this week's Seed of Faith. Our prayer is that you have come to know how much God loves you. If you would like to know more about the ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship, contact Pastor Dave at his email address, pastordave@theseedchristianfellowship.com, or you can send a message through the church website, theseedchristianfellowship.com. You are invited to come to church Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. at the Rancho Cucamonga Community Center at 11200 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga, California, 91730. The Seed is a wonderful fellowship of believers growing in God's love and grace. And when you do come, please make yourself known to Pastor Dave because he would love to meet you. If you don't have a home church and you would like to find a church in your area, they can send you names of some local churches in your particular area. Well, thanks for joining us this week. And remember, God loves you, and so do we.